Welcome to Weekly Parsha Insights. Parshas Truma, I want to focus this week on one particular pasuk at the beginning of the Sedra, which is a fundamental insight into tzedakah more broadly. And perhaps in the spirit of Adar, we'll bring it back a little bit to Purim as well. The pasuk is the opening pasuk of the Sedra. We're holding by the biggest crowdfunding, the first ever crowdfunding campaign in the Torah. The Mishkan needs to be built. We need everyone to contribute. And the Rebbein Shalom says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber b'nei Yisrael, v'yikhuli truma, me'eis kolish, asher yidvenu liboy. Take donations, ask people for money, but from whom? From those who their heart wants to give. I have, Rabbeisai, a very simple question. The Or HaChaim brings two different Midrashim. First, the Midrash of Shmos Rabbah. The Midrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Rebbein Shalom, hey, how can Klal Yisrael build the Mishkan? And it's obvious from Hashem's answer that Moshe Rabbeinu's question was monetary. Where do we have where are all the funds going to come from? And Hashem says, what are you talking about? Hamon hoya moirid li Yisrael avonin tovos maragolios. Alongside the mon, apparently, says the Medrash, came a huge amount of precious stones and diamonds. So no one was as short of money. And the Medrash further, or Chaim further brings from Medrash Tanchuma, that the Bizas Mitzrayim was incredible, what they took. What Klal Yisrael had at this stage in their history was a tremendous amount of wealth and riches. Thank you. Tremendous amount of wealth and riches. So my simple question is, why is it set up that only those people that were full of generosity of heart, we were going to take money from them? Why didn't the Torah just make a tax? Everyone has to give a certain amount of money. People were very capable. They had plenty of money to go around. So why was the structure nediv lev as opposed to just a tax? Straightforward, you've got to give. And this nediv lev isn't just in this week's Sedra. It's repeated numerous times in numerous different ways over the parashas of the Mishkan. So that's the central question I want to try and get clarity on. And to understand this, we need to take a step back and ask an even broader question, which is, why is there even such a thing as tzedakah? Why is there even such a concept that one person's going to have to dig deep in his pocket to take money out and give someone else that money? We know on the basic principles of Emunah Bitochen is that Hashem provides everyone. Hashem provides every living individual with a need. We know this. Hashem provides everyone. So if Hashem provides, why would it ever be necessary for a circumstance to require the mitzvah of tzedakah? It's a basic question on why tzedakah exists. And by the way, it's not just for people. It's for a spiritual endeavor as well, as we know. It's not just people collect for people. People collect for projects and for meisters and for, why is there even such a thing? Why is there such a thing as collecting? Hashem should just provide and finish, like Hashem does. So as a starting point to the answer, there's a very interesting Gemara, which I came across last week in Shabbos, Nun Gimel on the base. And the Gemara tells us a story about a man whose wife died and left behind a young child who was still breastfeeding. But he didn't have any money to hire someone to do that, to provide that milk for the child. V'nase loy nes, says the Gemara. Nes happened. V'niftechu loy dadei kishnei dadei isha v'hinikes b'noi. The Ribbono Shloim enabled this man to give the child milk from his breasts. Now, there's a machlokes in the Gemara of Yosef and Abaya, if that was a good thing or a bad thing. It doesn't matter for the nature of our point. Because the next part of the Gemara is Amar Rav Yehuda. Boy re'ei kama koshim mezoinoisu shel odom. No, after that, the next one. See how hard it is, the parnosah of a person. Shenishtanu olav sidrei breishis. The Rebbe Shalom turned the world upside down for this guy. And as Rav Nachman goes on to say, a ness happened. Indeed, a ness happened. But he didn't get money out of it. This guy was financially bereft. He needed money. And if he had had money, then the money would have solved the problem because he would have been able to hire someone. Hashem provided, did an S. Unbelievable. What was an S? He changed the natural, changed the course of nature for this person. But he didn't provide him with Parnassah, which is a very interesting observation. Rashi makes the point. The nest didn't come to provide with Parnassah. In other words, what this Gemara is implying, that Hashem is prepared to do Nisim, he would even change the natural abilities of a person before Hashem steps in with a Nes to provide a person with Parnassah. So what I see from this Gemara is a case study that, yes, we know Hashem provides everyone with their needs. However, it is still right and appropriate to use the word kosher, that it is difficult, which was the observation of Yehuda from this story. It is difficult because, as we said in Parshas Beshalach, in our Shem Parshas Beshalach, Parnassah is not always that simple. The starting principle is Hashem provides, of course. And for most people, that will end up in one form or another to be the case. But one's Averus and one's Mazel plays a role that makes it not so simple that everyone gets their Parnassah. And the Metzias, the reality of the world is in the way that Hashem has designed it, people have to rely on other people for support. So that's the first sort of building block that cements the idea that this is how it's supposed to be, but we haven't yet answered why. Why is it the case that that the world is made in such a way that people rely on each other? So the Gemara of Basra, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, tells us, Tanya Hayu Remeh Oimeh. Remeh says that really the Yetzahara could come along, the Baldin, he calls it the Yetzahara, Rashi says it means the Yetzahara, could come along and ask you the question. Very simple question. If your God, Melekechem Oyev Aniemu, if your God loves poor people, in other words, if he has the same amount of love for poor people as he does for everyone else, why doesn't he give them money? And Remeh says, you know what the answer to this Yetzahara is? The reason why Hashem does not provide poor people with the money that they need is for us to be saved from Gehenim. And the Gemara continues with the conversation that took place between Turnus Rufus, or Rosha, and Rabbi Akiva. It goes back and forth, and it ends up with Rabbi Akiva sharing with Turnus Rufus the following moshel. He says, "Moshel amar davadoma." You know what the moshel is comparable to? A king, a melech mosavadom, who gets upset with his child, he throws him into jail. And he makes a commandment, he puts out a rule, no one should feed him or drink or give him to drink. Then one guy comes along and one guy takes pity and one guy gives him food and drink. When the Melech hears about it, says the Gemara, is he not going to send him a present? In other words, yes, the king made the rule that the child shouldn't be fed or drink. But what does a father want? A father wants the child to be looked after. So someone comes and looks after the child, you don't think he's grateful? Of course he's grateful. Says the Gemara, Va'anan Kuruin Bonim. We are called the children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Of course Hashem's going to be grateful, so to speak, when one person takes care of another person. We're all children of Hashem. What the Gemara is telling us is that the concept of tzedakah, the reason why such a thing even exists in the way that it does, is to save us, those who give. It's a schus for the givers. And there's a similar idea in the Medrash, where he called Rabbi Lamadalat. The Medrash goes to a long list of different points about Chesed. And the Medrash says, I think it's a bit of a famous line, but the Medrash where he called Rabbi Lamadalat says, Tan Rabbi Shua, Yoisemi ma shabalabais, Oisema oni, oni, Oisem balabais. More than that which the owner of the house is doing with a poor man when he's being benevolent, he's giving him money, the poor man is doing for the balabais. The giver is there to gain more than the receiver. Who knows who's doing who the favor? So what we're trying to establish here, in other words, is that giving tzedakah for any cause, it's very much about the giver, much more than it's about the receiver. The Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world as he does, and we don't understand why Hashem decides what he does. But the fact is that fundamentally Hashem is there to look after everyone, and every person's needs will be met. It's not on you to save the world. It's not on you. It's not like without you it won't happen. Hashem has his plan. But you'll be given the opportunity. And there's many stories of Gedolim who had this attitude down to the T when it came to fundraising for a cause. because obviously the scenario of fundraising is you're asking someone for money. Now, someone who doesn't have this correct mindset thinks that they need to exercise whatever possible technique and whatever possible way of arm squeezing behind the guy's back in order to get him to give the money. Because if I don't get this donor to give me the money, then oy vavoy, what am I going to do? How am I going to finish the budget of the month? But the Baal Bitachon understands, Hashem is going to sort you out. So you're coming to a person to ask them for money? Okay. Why? Because you're giving them the zchus. It's much more balanced, much more nuanced. The fundraiser is giving the opportunity to the donor to take up the zchus. And if the potential donor doesn't want to, or the Ribbono Shel Olam has decided for whatever reason the money shouldn't come from that person, then it won't happen. And the fundraiser is fine with either outcome. So it's Zion good, so it is good, it's okay. And I've seen stories from across the board of people who interact with donors in the right way, in this way. You can mamish see the difference. I'll just share with you one or two stories because I really think it brings out a wonderful point in this. There's a Rav I'm friendly with, not from this town, who years ago had to fundraise for a particular thing and arranged a meeting with a very wealthy individual, I think more of a secular yid, in the city of London in his office. And the Rav describes how he comes into the office, sits down for the meeting, and very quickly they get a hit off on the right, the right way. And very quickly the wealthy individual starts sharing with the Rav different challenges that he's going through, and asking the Rav for advice. And he played a very important emotional support role in those few minutes. By the time the conversation wound down, the Rav had helped this man tremendously. The man was very grateful. The Rav got up and walked out and did not ask him for any money. Later on, when he was talking and I asked him about it, and we said to him, why not? Why did you not ask him for money? Why did you not go there and finish the meeting as you had come for? And he said, because he felt it wasn't right. He was in that situation that man was wrapped around his finger. He was in such a vulnerable place. He totally could have asked him for anything and the guy would have given it to him. And he felt that wasn't the right moment. The moment, what transpired was, he had come for one thing, but ultimately what transpired was something else entirely. The donor needed him. So he was there to provide and he was there to give advice. It would have felt wrong. It felt wrong to him. It was a lack of integrity to use that as a leverage and turn around, oh, actually, I'm here for fundraising. Can you give me money? It was the wrong thing to do. What I'm saying this story does is it points to an Ehrlichkeit. It points to an understanding. I don't need the money from this particular guy in order for it to work. I believe I'm here to raise the money. If it works, good. And if it doesn't, it's also good. And we find this by other gedolim as well. There's two very interesting halachas in Hilchos Taka. In Yoridei Arish Mem Ches Zayin, the Mechaber points out that someone who is feeling under pressure to give, one is not allowed to push them, one is not allowed to embarrass them. Also, Latova, you leave with me in this docker, you're not allowed to ask them for money. The Hagabai Shemachlimoi Veshoil Mimenu, Osi Dakadish Borchuli Pora Mimenu, a Gabbat stalker who puts undue pressure on someone to give money and he embarrasses him, as Shulchan Aruch says, Hashem is going to take it out on him. Not a poshter thing at all to be in such a situation. There's another halacha. Reish Mem Tes Gimel. Tzorech Litinat Stalker, Besay the Ponim Yofis, Besimcha Vetuv Leva. A person has to give stalker happily with a good heart. And with a generosity of spirit, you should have sympathy with the oni that you're supporting. You should encourage him. If a person gives stalker with sort of a negative face and bad tempered, ill tempered, and not of generosity of spirit, then he's lost the zchus of stalker. Can you imagine what this means? The guy's written a check for £10 million. He's built three different mikvahs. He's saved the Moisna Chinuch. He's built Torah. He's done so many things. By the next dinner of the yeshiva, he's going to be honored to no end. And yet, because all of those checks he gave with a face of negativity and with not a goodwill, hifsid zchusai. He's lost his chus. It's an amazing thing. Lost his chus. And what's interesting to me is that in all other parts, there are other parts of halacha. Famously, when it comes, the famous Rambam, when it comes to someone who has to give a get, we say kofin ad she'omer reitzani. We force them to do it, to do the right thing, until the guy openly admits, actually, I'm up for doing the right thing. There is a concept in halacha of kofin. There is a concept in halacha of forcing, basing of a power to force people to do the right thing. Not here. Not by tzedakah. Tzedakah in halacha, it has to be something that the person's happy to give, benediva slave. Because ultimately, the giving of tzedakah is about the schus of the giver. It's an opportunity for a schus. So if you're not in the right space, if you're not giving it with rachmanis and with care, then you're missing the whole essence of the mitzvah. And besides, if you pressure someone to give, as the halacha says you shouldn't, then you're out of sync with where you need to be. Every person needs to be living a life by emunah b'tochen. The guy who's looking for money also has to be by emunah b'tochen. And looking for money is no different to any ishtadlus that a person does in business or in anything, any part of life that you do ishtadlus. Yeah, you're supposed to make the right moves. You're supposed to meet the right people. You're supposed to open the conversations. But as to what transpires, how much the guy decides to give, if he decides to give, all up to Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a story told with the Imre Emes of Ger. The reason why, the story is not that dramatic, but the reason why it's unique is because the Imre Emes, when he was asked questions, he would answer very, very briefly. And in order not to lose any time from his day, he would often answer the letters that he got whilst taking his daily walk, which the doctor had ordered him to take. So one of his Gabon would read the question out loud, the Rebbe would say his few words, and that was later written up and sent out in reply. When a woman had a question, the women would come to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe would present it to the Rebbe. So one day she brought the following shayla to the Rebbe. The shayla was, my husband earns very little, with great difficulty, but nevertheless he's very careful to separate maisa. The lady came with a question that when he separates maisa, it's coming at the expense of buying shoes and clothing for the children. Is he obligated to give this maisa? This was the question that the woman asked to the Imre Emes. And unusually, the Imre Emes responded with quite a few sentences, which was very unusual. And essentially what he said was, listen, is machlekes, maisa, minatari or not? One thing is very certain. If one gives maisa and one gives with an open heart, then when one gives an open heart, one knows that they're happier with it. A person certainly fulfills the mitzvah of giving tzedakah when they do that. Now, that sounds like a nice piece of chizuk. The Rebbinson said to him, yeah, but what should I tell the woman? She wants to know what to do. The Rebbe says, there's a skula, if you give tzedakah with an open, happy heart, then the Rebbe Shlomo will bless you with your needs. In other words, what you're saying to her was, it's good for you. And there's plenty of people who will attest to the fact that when being particular about maisa, even when under difficulty, then that itself brings bracha. But what's so interesting is to note the Loshon of the Imre Emes, which also syncs with the Loshon of Shulchan Aruch, that it's about the way one gives the money. It's not a mathematical spreadsheet point. It's not just take off 10% and be done with it. It's the gracious, the grace with which one gives, and the open-heartedness, and the willingness, and the enthusiasm, and the sympathy for the ani. All of those emotions play a role in the way and the attitude the person has when giving. Okay, that's tzedakah covered, right? We've explained the mitzvah of tzedakah, because within tzedakah we ask the question, why is there such a room for it? Why was there a need for it? And we explained the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants to give Klal Yisrael's chusin. By making people needy, Hashem opens the door for opportunities for us to support. But we have to make sure that when we come forward to support, we're in the right zone. Because as the Shulchan Aruch says, if you're not in the right generous mood, if you're doing it just to be yitzah, you can lose the schus, which is a really remarkable thing. Now let's come back to the Mishkan. We know the Mishkan was there to be mechapa on the Egel. Now, we've established, and we know this, we say almost in every shiur, Hashem doesn't need our contributions of money to make this happen. So what's Hashem doing in this way then? Hashem is creating a schus. Hashem is creating an opportunity. Get involved. If you get involved in the Mishkan, it'll be a schus for you. If that's the case, the Torah is never going to mandate that every person has to give money. The Torah wants us to give money willfully, with a full heart, with a lev shalim, with an nedivah slave, because that is mitzvah tzedakah. That's what it's about. It's not that the nedivah slave is an extra thing. Why did the Torah approach it this way? Why didn't the Torah approach it that way? This is the way to do it. The way to get tzedakah is the nedivah slave. And that's therefore the right way to build a Mishkan. The Chasam Sofer puts it like this. Chasam Sofer says, you know, the Gemara tells us that really everything in this world belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's two psukim. There's Hashem Ha'aretz Amloya, and there's V'ha'aretz Nasan Levnei Adam. So how do you square the two? Is the world ours or is the world Hashem? The Gemara says it depends before the bracha or after bracha. When a person makes a bracha on the food, it sort of becomes ours, and that allows you to partake of it. Says the Chasam Sofer in a similar way. Every bit that we have is the Ribono Shel Olam. Every bit of our possessions is the Ribono. It's like when children play with toys. So they'll say, this is mine. The other child will say, this is mine. You're standing there laughing. This is mine and mine. It's all mine. What are you talking about? It's not yours. Same thing with Ribono Shel Olam. We're here in this world playing with toys. Cars, jewels, houses. Mine. This is mine. That's mine. I'll give you money to buy this from you. Ribono Shel Olam's up there laughing. What are you talking about? He's the creator. He owns everything. So when is something yours then? Says the Chasam Sofer. When you give someone else Lev Sholem, that's yours. The giving of tzedakah, the supporting of someone else wholeheartedly, that's something, that's a role that you can play. That's when it's yours to own. But if someone gives with a lack of Lev Sholem, not wholeheartedly, then he's not doing anything, says in Chasam Sofer, because he's just taking the Ribono Shel Olam's money from one hand and putting it to another hand. He's not got a role in that. I said I would bring it back a little bit to Purim. Just, I know we're a few weeks away still, but it's Rosh Chodesh Adar after all. There is a concept on Purim of Kol HaPoshet Liad Nosim Lo, which is extra special day that when people put their hands out, you should give them. And I feel that with what we're saying today, there's a note to the giver and there's a note to the receiver. When it comes to the giver, it can be annoying. It can get to us sometimes. People ask us, people drive us mad. Same people ask us a number of times. Give graciously. Doesn't matter how much you give, but give graciously. Give belev sholim. Give benedivos lev. And if you're kind to other people, the Ribono Shel Olam will be kind to you. Kol ha-merachim al ha-briyos, merachim in olam min ha-shamayim. Purim is a day of tremendous siyata d'shamayim, tremendous rachmonis. It's not just Purim, it's the whole Adar as well, by the way. In terms of being a chodesh hashan epach, it's a day of a month of gewaldiger potential. But be gracious, be kind, be sympathetic to other people. And to the receiver, I would say, equally, be gracious. Don't, if you're looking to collect money, don't be pressuring. Don't fight for it. You'll get whatever you're supposed to get. You know, twisting the guy's arm isn't going to get you any more money. It might look like it sometimes, but that's not how it works. The Ribono Shel Olam decides what you're supposed to get. That was the main sort of thesis that I wanted to share in terms of what we draw from the parasha. With your permission, I want to share one more point. Rabbi Chaim Friedlander brings from a medrash, which the Baal HaTorim quotes. The medrash says that even though the Mishkan was the source of Ashras HaShchinah, and therefore was going to be something that everyone ought to want to have something to do with, everyone would ought to want to get on board and contribute. And yet the medrash says, Klal Yisrael had to be encouraged, had to be coaxed into it. The Medrash comments, and if that's the case for even an important cause that they needed to be encouraged, you see how, this is how the Medrash twists it, you see how chomor it is to push people into giving money. That means even though the cause was of paramount importance, and everyone ought to want to have a natural disposition to want to give, yet still they should be encouraged, the Medrash says. It's apparent from here, you're not supposed to force people. So that first point is what is in line with what we've said. But the Alter von Kelm, Chaim Friedlander brings, Alter von Kelm brings out a different point as well. Why on earth, how on earth would Klal Yisrael need to be encouraged? We've said at the beginning of the year, they had so much money to give. And the money had come from the Ribono Shel Olam, Benissim, Bizas Hayom, from the Mon, whatever, whichever way you go. The money, they will become wealthy because of the Ribono Shel Olam. And now the Ribono Shel Olam turns around and asks them to give back. What do you think, they're being hesitant now? What's going on? So you see from here, the far-reaching koach of the Yetzer Hara of human nature. Even with money that's given to you as a gift, the minute it enters a person's account, there is a sense of ownership. And from that point on, it becomes that little bit more difficult, and everyone's different in this regard, to actually give it away. What do you mean? It's my money. Yeah, you dumb cop. You got it as a gift, right? It's not. That's not how people think. It's not how the Yetzer Hara makes us think. It's my money. It's my money. You're entitled to my money. And it takes a certain avodas hanefesh for a person to push back, for a person to overcome that, for a person to be generous, even with that which he has in his account. There's a story that Ria Galinsky tells over about this guy, old Europe, poor man, and middle of the night it became apparent that he'd actually won a lottery, a ticket that he bought, but he was sleeping. A friend of his who knew the results was so excited for him, went running over to the guy's house in the middle of the night, banging on the door, waking him up. Shmero, Shmero, wake up. And the guy, bleary-eyed, comes to the door, like, well, what's going on? He said, you're a gvir, you won the lottery, expecting his friend to be jumping up and down. The friend takes it in, turns around with an angry face. Who do you think you are, waking up a witch guy in the middle of the night? That's how quick it changes. That's how quick it changes. Money comes into your hand, doom. Oh, I'm a gvir now. Don't mess around.
It would be remiss of me not to offer you the quite chance to donate case, to my charity, Binyan Odom.
Akoponim, which is you the platform. You always need to be encouraged.
From where
you should encourage people to give. You should always be of the givers. We should always be zoicha to be of the givers.
Among other things, also, if you'd like to donate, go to charityextra.com, search charities for Binyan Odom, or reach out to the email address office@binyanodom.co.uk. Thank you.